Welcome to the space show, Ian.
Thank you, Andrew.
You've just come back from Brisbane. What are you doing up there?
Well, we had the 8th National Space Engineering Symposium.
Sounds very impressive. What were you doing there?
Well, that's where people report on space research and development and commercial activities in Australia since each year, since the previous symposium.
Are there any space activities in Australia?
Well, that's a good question. There was feeling that it wouldn't be a very good symposium. But fortunately, despite the more stringent economic conditions and somewhat of a downturn in the space area, there was quite a good attendance, about 70 people, and some progress in quite a few areas. So it was very successful indeed, yes.
So what topics are currently happening here in Australia then?
Well, one of the highlights was an introduction to the new governing body of space in Australia, the Australian Space Council. That's headed by none other than Don Watts, and he reported on their the development of a 5-year plan, which should be an encouraging sign for industry. They've set up a committee in each of a number of areas, including remote sensing, communications, launch vehicles, international space activities, and so forth, with experts in that field on each committee, and I think that'll really show a way ahead for Australia. We're very pleased to see that Don Watts himself participated in the whole symposium and chatted to everyone, which is certainly a very good sign.
Ian, this time last year, Australian industry was looking towards the possibility of building its own launch vehicle to place satellites into space. What's the current thinking on that?
Well, in the intervening time, there's been more of a broadening of activities in that area. It's been realised that to develop our own launch vehicle or satellites from scratch would be very, very expensive. And at the same time, there's a wide range of space hardware and expertise available from some other countries due to changes in the world situation, such as the Eastern Bloc countries. So there's been a new approach there in talking to some other countries about cooperating with those in joint programs, and it's likely to be much more cost effective than simply developing our own vehicles.
So who are the main movers in this at the moment?
Well, it's still the big three space companies in Australia. That's Hawker de Havilland, British Aerospace and Ausspace, together with the Australian Space Office. They've been visiting various countries and looking at various options for cooperation there and putting together an overall plan to move forward.
So that what's new in the last couple of years? I mean, the Space Office was looking at the possibility of an Australian launch vehicle 2 years ago. Okay, with the new Space Council, what's happened? What's new?
Well, we've been looking at different ways of implementing that, more cost-effective. We could, for example, develop our own vehicle as was originally conceived, but in the meantime there are a number of other vehicles that are on the drawing boards, and also there's a lot of space hardware available, particularly, for example, ballistic missiles, which are now surplus to quite a number of countries around the world, and they can theoretically be obtained for a fraction the cost of us developing our own. So there may be better ways of doing it.
So they would be available to Australia?
Well, we believe so. That's what we're informed. But of course, in making new economic or commercial bridges between different countries since the warming up of relations is of course a difficult process and not a very straightforward one. So I guess you're trading one thing versus the other.
So essentially Australia wouldn't be an actual rocket manufacturer as such. It would be more a rocket assembler.
That's the view that people are tending towards, yes.
Okay, so what would we do with these rockets, assuming that we did actually manage to buy the parts and assemble them here in Australia? Would they be launched from here in Australia?
Well, certainly. We've got excellent facilities for launching rockets from here. So that's the intention.
And those facilities are the ones in Woomera.
And there are other sites as well which provide additional opportunities so that you can cover all the range of orbits that would be required.
There was a talk a couple of years ago of a spaceport in Cape York. Any talk about that at the conference?
No, that was hardly even mentioned. I think the main reason is that it was always realised that there a very large amount of funding, the order of $1 billion, has often been mentioned in order to build a full-fledged spaceport there. And so far, no one company or group has been able to prove that they are willing to go ahead with that. However, there are a number of other different options, especially in small launch vehicles. These days you can have very transportable launch vehicles, which could be launched from sites with much less infrastructure, or even transportable under transportable circumstances. So there's a number of different options available there.
What sort of size vehicle are we talking about here if we're going to assemble this rocket? Are we talking about something like the old Saturn V, or are we talking about something that's more on the solid fuel Scout type vehicle?
Something between those ranges, Andrew. There's certainly an opportunity in the range of, say, 750 to 1,500 kilograms placed in low Earth orbit, and that means the launch vehicle may weigh something between, say, 60 to 110 metric tons, that sort of figure. And as you would realise, that's quite easily transported on a land vehicle, and it also corresponds quite well to the size of many launch vehicles which were intended to carry atom bombs around the world and are no longer required for that purpose, fortunately.
So we're looking at the old decommissioned strategic missiles?
Well, either decommissioned or new ones built to the new purpose, but using the expertise or the tooling which was used for the missiles, yes.
And given that we've got the rocket, are we looking at launching payloads that are Australian, or are we looking at trying to persuade customers from overseas to use our vehicle?
Well, we'd need to do both together. Certainly to gain credibility overseas, we'd need to launch our own satellites first and as well. But at the same time, to run a commercial business, we'd need to seek paying customers from overseas. So if we can provide the right combination of a politically stable country and good launch facilities, and launch at the right price, and launch anyone's payload without economic restrictions, then I think the indications are very good that we could make a business out of it.
Well, Ian, we're nearly out of time here. In a sentence, how would you sum up the conference?
Well, I think it's very positive that Australia's space horizons have been broadened to take account of some overseas realities, economic realities and overseas developments. But at the same time, there are some exciting new proposals that show real promise for Australia.
And was there any feel of confidence amongst the engineering fraternity for the structures that have been set up now in the government?
Yes, indeed. I think it's very refreshing to see both the new openness and enthusiasm from a number of people, including the Science Minister, Senator Schott, and also from the new head of the Space Council. And also there's been a significant restructuring of the Space Office with the departure of Bruce Middleton, the previous head. So I think that there's a great call for optimism.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Ian.
Thank you, Andrew.